This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Blaze Radio Network.
And now, Chewing the Fat with Jeff Fisher.
Gen Zers, how about you get to work? You know who you are. Born between 1997 and 2012. You need to start setting an example for those Gen Alphas. You know, the ones born between 2013 and, I guess, this year or next. 68% of small business owners believe that Generation Z employees are the least reliable of their workforce. This is according to a new Freedom Economy Index survey, which is a product of the Red Balloon job site and the Public Square shopping site. Well, I mean, who isn't a fan of those? And it was released. It also found that 4% of businesses found that Gen Z most aligns with their workplace culture. Only 4% align with their workplace culture? Wow. 71% of employers also said that Gen Z workers were the most likely to suffer a workplace mental health issue. Either way, get to work on time and ready to go. Okay? Welcome. Welcome to Chewing the Fat. You know, I always get bogged down by what is Gen Z and what's Gen Alpha. So Gen Z, as I said, was 1997 to 2012. And then the Gen Alphas are the ones that are the little ones now, right? Born between 2010 and, I guess, next year, 2025. Then you have the Millennials, which are 81 to 96. Then the Gen Xers, 65 to 1980. And then you have the Baby Boomers, 1946 to 1964. Then you have the Silent Generation, which is 1928 to 1945. Now, anything before 1928, I guess, is the lost generations, because most of those people are gone. They are dead. There's still some alive, no question, but there's still the lost generation if you were born before 1928. I mean, I know we've talked about it before, but just think, the people in the Silent Generation, 1928 to 1945, they're 79 to 96 years old today. Think of what they have seen transpire in the United States and globally in their lifetime. Wow, really, really incredible. If they haven't lost their minds and you know anyone in the Silent Generation, it would probably do you well to talk to them and understand how they feel and what they've seen and what has transpired in their lifetime, because it is, you can quote me on this, incredible. You know, another thing that's incredible, we had a major disaster here in the United States today, the 26th of March, 2024. The Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, which is Interstate 695 over the Patapsco River, southeast of Baltimore metropolitan area, collapsed overnight at 1:35 a.m., they claim it was a partial bridge collapse because the main spans, I guess, on the either side. It's the bridge is like 8,500 feet, over a mile long, and the main section spans 1,200 feet. It was one of the longest continuous truss bridges in the world upon its completion. Wow. Okay. And it was smashed into by a ship this morning, and it collapsed. The footage, if you have not seen it, is incredible. I think that might even be just the title of today's show, incredible. The footage shows where the ship is losing power a couple of times, maybe more than that. And it also issued a mayday, and they were able to shut down the bridge moments before the collapse and the crash. So, I mean, that probably saved dozens, if not hundreds, of lives, because there are still people they're searching for. A few people have been rescued. We did have loss of life, which would be very, very sad, but not as much as would have been had this mayday not been issued. They claim that it was last inspected in May of 2021, received a fair rating, according to federal data. That means inspectors determined the bridge is essentially sound, but may have minor issues like cracks and some concrete erosion. Some 800,000 vehicles passed through the port in 2023, moving 3 million tons of cargo. We're going to have ripple effects on the deliveries from that port. It's going to be, well, we can't get it to you. I mean, I know it was going to Sri Lanka. When it struck the bridge, it's a Singaporean container ship called the Dali, D-A-L-I, as in Salvador Dali. Anyway, I'm not talking about artwork from the bridge. Stop it. It was struck. And so I know that this cargo ship was carrying all this cargo to Sri Lanka. But the first photo I saw of it when the daylight hit the wreckage, I'm looking at all this cargo on the ship, and I'm thinking, I hope none of my medications are on that ship. But, you know, I digress. It was just, I cared about me and not other people. I know. I got it. Sorry. Now, according to reports, 21,000 20-foot containers pass in and out of Baltimore each week. New York and New Jersey handle more than 10 times that volume, but it's still going to shut down. I mean, hello, you got autos and trucks and tractors and cranes. And I mean, we've got all kinds of stuff coming in and out of that port that is going to, you know, definitely delay deliveries around the country and around the world for that matter. So the main span of the bridge was built in 1977 and is locally referred to as the Key Bridge. It's like I said, 1200 feet is the main span. And so all the approaches and everything are 11 miles, but that main span of the bridge is what collapsed. Look, I mean, why didn't it have the barriers around the trail? I don't understand why. They built these new bridges. This is 1977, so it's not that old of a bridge. And especially since we saw what happened with the Skyway Bridge back in 1980. I mean, I remember driving over the one span that was left standing after that ship crashed into the one span of the Sunshine Skyway Bridge near St. Petersburg, Florida, going south, I-75. And they put it, when they built the new bridge, they put in these giant barriers, concrete barriers, so that if ships were to, I don't know, lose control, they would hit the barriers and not the bridges. Why aren't those put in to these huge bridges that have so much traffic and are so important to our thoroughfares here in the United States? I really don't understand. This is completely, I'm not talking about bridges that just collapse, right? I remember back in 2007, I remember driving. I was driving from Florida to Missouri in 2007 when the Minneapolis Bridge collapsed over the Mississippi River. That was another arch truss bridge. But they believed that was, because of, well, they said it was a total bridge failure. And they said that undersized gusset plates, increased concrete surfacing load, and the weight of construction supplies equipment caused this collapse. So it wasn't as if a ship ran into that one. I got it. Bridges collapse. But that's not this. This is that. Why are we not having barriers for these bridges put in? Oh, it costs way too much money, Jeff. Uh-huh. How much money is it going to cost now? And of course, I mean, thoughts and prayers to all the people that and family members of the people that were on that bridge. I don't even like to imagine what it would be like if you were on the bridge and it starts crashing like that. And oh my gosh, how scary that would be. And the water's cold and you're already you're already out of your mind. You don't know what to happen. It's very sad, and I do not wish that on anyone. So I hope that we recover everyone. I hope that everyone survives. Obviously, that's not going to be the case, and that we can get this up and running quickly. But I don't foresee that. And don't even let me catch you flying a drone over there trying to get some pictures for your YouTube channel, okay? Because the FAA said, no. We don't be flying. We've issued flight restrictions around the Francis Scott Key Bridge collapse. Now, I looked at the map of what the FAA is calling flight restrictions around the Francis Scott Key Bridge. It's pretty large. It's a pretty large area, so keep your drones in your back pocket. And look, I get it. They've got rescue helicopters and planes flying over looking for people and looking at the crash site and surveying it all. So they can't be, you know, they can't be sidestepping drones while they're out there doing rescue operations. I understand. But it is, as a, you know, as if I was a, if I were a drone operator, I would be, you know, a little bummed. Now, I know they say, you know, hashtag no drone zone, but what if I put a camera on a balloon and fly it over? Can I get that footage? No? Okay, never mind. All right, another incredible story, just when you think it can't get any stranger here in America. In 2021, Governor Gavin Newsom of California signed Bill 1475 into law, which prohibits local law enforcement from publishing mugshots on social media platforms if the individual is accused of a nonviolent crime. There are exceptions, of course, if it would, you know, aid in the capture of the suspect, or a judge orders the release of the photo, or there is an existing threat to others. Also, they expanded on that prohibition last year with Amendment AB 994, to be exact, to include the removal of all mugshots from social media after 14 days, regardless of the crime. So some police departments for a while now have been using characters, Barbie heads, Shrek faces, to cover the faces of suspects when they show them on their Facebook pages or their other social media sites. Well, one particular police department, Murrieta Police Department, M-U-R-R-I-E-T-A Police Department, had started putting Lego faces on their characters and on their suspects to cover up the photos of the suspects as they were being arrested. And it was kind of funny. We all thought it was funny. It was just a funny way for you to watch the police arrest someone. Ha ha ha. We put a Lego Lego head on the suspect. Well, you know what? Lego did not think it was funny. The Lego group reached out to the police department and said, you know, we're respectfully asking you to refrain from using our intellectual property in social media content, which, of course, we understand and will comply with. Oh, okay, yeah. So we, you know, while you thought it was funny and Americans thought it was funny and they didn't think that it was a slam on Legos at all, Lego thought it was a slam on Legos. So I don't know what the police departments are going to do now. I'm surprised that they didn't get in trouble for using the Shrek faces and the Barbie heads. And maybe they did, and maybe that's why they went to the Lego heads. So I'm not sure what's next. Maybe a company like Minecraft should come out and say, hey, use any of our characters. Go ahead. Use, and police departments, if you can't post the actual face of the perp of the suspect, you can use our Minecraft characters to cover up their face. That would be huge. And that'd be kind of like Lego take that. But will that happen? Probably not. All right, let's go to the break room. I need something cold to drink desperately. We do have breaking news, and man, it must be good if you were an investor in Krispy Kreme, because we now know that McDonald's plans to sell Krispy Kreme donuts in all 13 18,500 plus locations across the U.S. by the end of next year. Well, 2026, because the rollout is going to start the second half of this year, but apparently it's going to take about 2.5 years to add Krispy Kreme donuts to McDonald's nationwide, as Krispy Kreme is going to have to ramp up its distribution to satisfy the partnership. Yeah, no kidding. That is a big, big deal. And I'm not sure. I guess they're going to have just the three types of donuts at McDonald's. So if you want something other than the original glazed chocolate iced with sprinkles or a chocolate iced cream filled, you're going to have to go to either the Krispy Kreme store, or I don't know if they have those at the convenience stores or not that have Krispy Kreme boxes in them. I doubt it. You probably just have to go to the Krispy Kreme store if you want something other than those three. Wow. So that is a big deal for Krispy Kreme. Now, I'm not a pump. I mean, I like Krispy Kremes. I've eaten them before they're best when they're hot. But to have Krispy Kreme as part of McDonald's in every store, that is huge. That's a lot of money. And I guess they figure that it won't take away from their breakfast purchases. You go in, get a McDonald's coffee. Yeah, sure, let me have an Egg McMuffin. And while I'm waiting, I'll take one of those Krispy Kremes too. So, good times. Good times at McDonald's, and good times to be an investor in Krispy Kreme, man. Holy cow. And to be clear, I am not an investor in McDonald's or Krispy Kreme, and I do not give investment advice. You do not want investment advice from me. You know, unless I were to have, say, let's say, hit the lotto, and then you might want to take some investment advice, but I haven't. So tonight, the 26th of March, 2024, we have the $1.1 billion Mega Millions drawing. And that's the cash payout of $525.8 million. We did not have a winner of the Powerball last night. So the Powerball jackpot for Wednesday, the 27th, goes up to $865 million jackpot, $416.1 cash payout. So if I win one of those, then maybe you take some investment advice from me. But until then, poof. No, that disclaimer is you do not want investment advice from me. All right, so we've got all kinds of news in the airlines. Sure, airline CEOs have reportedly requested an audience with Boeing's board of directors to address the manufacturer's growing list of problems. Yeah, there's quite a few problems with that. FBI has told Alaska Airlines passengers they may be a victim of a crime. Weird. Boeing CEO steps down. Yeah, he left a big full memo to people. He's been considering this for a while. Have you? Yeah, listen, I'm going to leave at the end of the year. I'm not going to leave right now, but I've had it. And I'm going to leave, you know, at the end of the year. We've been in crisis mode. And yeah, no kidding. So Boeing's commercial aviation chief, Stan Deal, he left after yesterday's announcement. He figured out how to do it right. He just left. He's not going to wait till the end of the year. He just left. Board chairman Larry Kellner said he won't seek re-election later this year. So he doesn't know how to leave right away either. But he's going to hang out until, I don't know, later this year. And then I guess we're going to have a replacement for him. That's Qualcomm CEO Steve Mollenkopf. That's great. So anyway, big changes in the airline industry happening right in front of our faces. But the most important airline story of the day is Yellowstone actor Forey J. Smith. Now, he plays Lloyd Pierce, I think is his name. He's the old-time cowboy rustler on Yellowstone, the show. And most importantly, which we'll talk about tomorrow on Pat Gray Unleashed, he's from the mean streets of Montana, Helena, Montana. I don't know if he and Pat are friends or not, but he is from the mean streets. Well, he posted an Instagram video that claims that he was kicked off an airplane because he asked the flight attendants, "Hey, I don't feel comfortable sitting next to this person wearing a mask," and then he was cut off. They kicked him off the plane. Oh, okay. Yeah, get out of here. You're off the plane. You can't complain about sitting next to someone wearing a mask. All right, you get out of here. Now, remember, he's been a big-time proponent of being unvaccinated. He didn't go to the Screen Actors Guild Awards in 2022 because he was unvaccinated. He said it's a requirement to be vaccinated to go to the ceremony. You have to have a booster shot and a negative COVID test, and you got to wear a mask. And I'm not going to get vaccinated. I haven't been vaccinated since I was a little kid. I don't vaccinate my dogs. I don't vaccinate my horses. I've never had a flu shot. I never will. And I believe that they compromise your immunity. So, hey, sorry, I won't be at your event. Well, now he's getting on an airline and doesn't say his Instagram video cuts off. So it never gets to who he was flying on, what he was flying out of Houston, Texas. And he is a little inebriated. He claims, "I'm not drunk." There's a difference, all right? That's where people think they're not drunk, but they are. He's just not falling down drunk. He's still functional. He's able to be okay. He hasn't lost his mind, but he is under the influence of alcohol, no question.
You know, my social media people tell me that you like me face to face.
We do. We want to see it for you.
But you know what? I can't say face to face what I want.
Oh, no.
Like, I just got kicked off a plane. Houston, Texas.
Yeah, Houston.
Because I told them that I didn't feel comfortable sitting next to somebody with a mask on. Yeah, I've been drinking. I've been sitting in the airport for 3 hours. Yeah, I'm drinking.
Hello.
I ain't drunk. But they throw me off the plane because I'm drunk. Because you people won't stand up and tell everybody what bullshit this is.
Think about it.
I just told them I didn't feel comfortable about sitting next to somebody that had to wear a mask. And I'm off the plane.
You know it.
Yes, I ain't.
Oh, there you go. It cuts off. Then he just stopped it. So we don't find out where he's flying and what else, anything else he had to say. But he was not drunk enough to get kicked off the plane before he got on the plane. But since he complained about sitting next to someone wearing a mask, you're off. Have a nice day. Get out. good times. Good times for the airline industry, isn't it? I mean, this is the kind of stuff that bodes well to, what's his name? Patches. Dan Crenshaw, the congressman from Texas who wants, he's pissed at the airline for giving his wife a hard time and the TSA for giving his wife a hard time. And I don't remember the whole story, but I just know the one thing that came out of the last little thing that I read or saw him talking about was that he wanted to have all the TSA agents and the airline employees wear body cams so that we get the full story on all of these happenings that are happening on the airlines. Because usually we get the short videos, we get a video that started too late, we get this angle and that angle, but we don't get, all we get is what the flight attendant said, what the passenger said. But if the flight attendant were to be wearing a body cam, then we would know. I kind of like that idea, actually. I hate for government regulation to be taken over stuff, but maybe the airline do it on their own and just make sure that all their employees, especially flight attendants and pursers and pilots, have a body cam on so that we can see what actually happens when there's a complaint. Just a thought. Happening in the music world these days. Diddy, P. Diddy had his LA and Miami homes raided by Homeland Security as part of a sex trafficking probe. We'll see what comes of that. I know that he's being called the Diddler on social media, so we'll see what comes of that. There were also reports that his private airplane was tracked headed to the Bahamas. So we'll see if that's actually true. We'll see what's happening. Everything these days does seem to be sex trafficking. So we shall see. Then we have a couple of big events coming up. We have Coachella, which is coming up April 12th through the 14th, and then April 19th through the 21st. And they've announced their lineup. And we have, Lana Del Rey and Doja Cat and Tyler, the Creator. No Doubt is going to headline the three-day music festival. And it's going to return to the Empire Polo Grounds in Indio, California. Then we have Lollapalooza. That's coming up in August. In Chicago. Oh my gosh. The Creator, Tyler, Zah, they're all going to be here too. So, yeah, good news. You can see them either at Coachella or you can see them at the 2024 Lollapalooza. No word if Nicki Minaj is going to be there, but I know she's on tour now, and she had a wardrobe malfunction that exposed her breast during an Orlando, Florida concert show. It was an accident. Uh-huh. Right. So she, no one effing told me. Okay, Nikki, we know you're really bummed about showing off your breasts. Got it. So Minaj is 41 now, and she was passing around the microphone, and then she was all wound up because, her breast was showing, and no one effing told her. Yeah, okay. So she's really upset that her boob fell out on tour as the concert is just getting started, right? I think this is the tour is just getting underway, right? This is the beginning of the Nicki Minaj tour that kicked off earlier this month. So she's already early on in her tour. We got to get people talking about her. What better way to get people talking about, the Barbie World singer, the Oscar nominated film, and she's, performing at Anaconda and Monster. We got to get people talking about it. What can I do? Oh, I know. I'll just perform and one of my breasts will come out by accident. So be sure to catch Nicki Minaj on her tour. It's titled, or it was titled, Pink Friday 2 Tour. Maybe starting next week, it'll be titled Boobs Out Tour for Nicki Minaj. The world is looking good for Selena Gomez, too. It's reported that she's probably going to sell her cosmetics brand for $2 billion. She's going to start working in the Wizards of Waverly Place sequel. Selena Gomez is coming back to work on that. And she's in Only Murders in the Building as well. So life is looking good for Selena Gomez. No word on whether she's going to be at, Coachella or Lollapalooza. And I don't know that Olivia Colman is going to be there either. Olivia Colman, the actress, you know her probably from The Crown. I loved her in the TV series Broadchurch, which was, I loved that series. It was really good. Anyway, and she's won an Oscar. She's been great. Now, she's claiming that she would have been paid a lot more had she been a male. Oh, okay. She said she dismissed suggestions that the gulf is justified because male actors attract bigger audiences than their female counterpart. Yeah, how about that, Olivia? No, don't get me started on that. Male actors get paid more because they used to say they drew in audiences. Yeah, they used to say that, and they still do because it's true. But according to Olivia, that hasn't been true for decades, but they still like to use that as a reason to not pay women as much as their male counterparts. Boy, do I disagree with that. But she goes on, she was on the I'm in Poor Hour, which I don't miss. Man, you can't rip me away from the I'm in Poor Hour. And she said on the I'm in Poor Hour, I'm very aware that if I was Oliver Coleman, I would be earning an F of a lot more than I am. I know one pay disparity, which is a 12,000% difference. Oh, okay. And does she give an example? Yes. She says when Claire Foy portrayed a young Queen Elizabeth II in The Crown, she was paid less than Matt Smith, who portrayed the Duke of Edinburgh. Producers justified the gap by arguing that Smith had a higher profile after starring in a BBC sci-fi series, Doctor Who. I don't know, that's because he did? So Foy was reportedly paid an additional $200,000 after she whined about it. So they gave her more money after she whined about it. However, since then, she said that Netflix producers said that in the future, no one should be paid better than the Queen. But we've seen how that worked out. I mean, we've complained at one point about Robin Wright and Kevin Spacey in House of Cards. I mean, they gave her a pay raise. She whined saying that I'm going to threaten to expose the difference in the salaries. And they said, okay, fine, we'll pay you the same as we pay Kevin. And then she still exposed them to say that I was paid less. Yeah, and where did the show go after you took it over, Robin? Oh, I know. In the tubes, over, gone, goodbye, because we were there to see Kevin, not you. Ugh, I can't take it. And of course, Jennifer Lawrence was paid $25 million for her lead role in a Netflix comedy, and I felt terrible that she was only paid $25 million because her co-star, Leonardo DiCaprio, he was paid $30 million. How dare they? How dare they? So, and here's another idea. Olivia Colman. In today's world, who says you can't be Oliver Colman? Go ahead. Tell us that you're now Oliver Colman. See if that gets you a pay raise. Well, we have news on Flacco, the beloved Eurasian eagle owl who died in Manhattan last month. We've done our post-mortem on the old Flacco, the eagle owl. And he had high levels of rat poison in his system. He was suffering from a severe pigeon herpes virus. You know, I don't know. I don't know how you catch that, but I'm guessing maybe Flacco was out taking care of a little pigeon business. He's out in Roman Manhattan. Very possible. And according to this, two significant underlying conditions when he flew into the building. Yeah, he was a little sick with a viral infection. And I guess it's caused by eating feral pigeons. So not only was he taking care of a little business with the severe pigeon herpes virus, but he also was eating the pigeons. And exposure to four different anticoagulant rodenticides that are commonly used for rat control in the city. Oh, no. So these factors would have been debilitating and ultimately fatal, even without flying into a building. So he probably was going to die in a little bit anyway, but then he flew into the building. I mean, was it suicide? We'll never know. We just know that he was probably going to die because of everything that was wrong with him before he decided to fly into the building. The infection led to severe tissue damage and inflammation in many organs, including the spleen, liver, and gastrointestinal tract. I can't even speak these words. Bone marrow and brain. So the Bronx Zoo veterinary and pathologist did not identify any other contributing factors in Flacco's death during the testing, but they found the owl was exposed to trace amounts of DDE, which is a, you know, a breakdown product of the pesticide DDT, but there were those levels were not clinically significant. They're just, yeah, they were in there. He got some of that. I'm sure that he picked up some of that from, you know, the pigeon business going on. So Flacco was sick. Flacco, Eurasian eagle owl, was really sick, and he was not well at all, and he would have what he was suffering with would have been ultimately fatal. I mean, how long we don't know, right? I mean, people suffer with stuff all the time, and live for a long time. The owl may have as well. So he should have just gone back to the zoo, man. Life was good. He was eating good. Probably wasn't getting a lot of pigeon business at the zoo, which is why he wanted to stay out on his own in Manhattan. But proving to be a little too much for Flacco, he flew into a building and died. I mean, this is why I'm a fan of zoos. I realize, you know, humans first. And I'm sorry that Flacco either killed himself or was so sick that he flew into a building and couldn't fly around Manhattan anymore. But had he stayed in the zoo, he would still be alive. And he would be living like a king and eating like a king. But instead, he got out. I don't know if there was criminal activity that allowed the owl to be free. I think I remember reading about the screening of the enclosure was cut. I think that might have been Flacco. I don't remember. But he should have just stayed there. He should have just whoever cut the fencing, he should have just said, "No, I'm not. I'm good right here. I'm feeling pretty good. I've got my owl smokes and I got my owl business over there. It doesn't look as hot as those pigeons over there, but I should stay right here." But he didn't. He made a wrong call. And we've all done that. We've all made a wrong call before that has cost us quite a bit. Speaking of animals dying, I see where we found a bunch of pythons. We've found all kinds of pythons in Florida in the past few years. Like the last 10 years, there have been huge amounts of pythons found and killed. As a matter of fact, since 2013, one team in particular has captured and removed more than 34,000 pounds of python from the region. Now, 34,000 pounds seems like a lot, doesn't it? But they just found a huge pile of pythons, a pile of pythons, that's a good name, totaling 500 pounds in this marsh. So they stumbled upon this 7-foot-wide mound of 11 pythons. So these pythons, who are native to Southeast Asia, and they've established themselves in Florida, and they prey on local wildlife. They eat everything. They're hungry, and that's what they do. If you're a giant python, and you're 19 feet long, or however long you are, you're hungry. And when you're hungry, you're going to eat anything you want. So they got to be put down. I love the guy that found this pile of pythons. And he said that, we look for them and we try to get them before they lay their eggs. We've been after them for 10 years. And he said, you can't put them in zoos and send them back to Southeast Asia. That doesn't... Invasive species management doesn't end with the rainbows and kittens. It doesn't say how they kill them, though. And I want to know. Did we just... pour a little lighter fluid on them, and there they go. That's a controlled burn. Probably not. Probably not. I don't know. Do we cut their heads off and then do we eat them? Do we send them to a restaurant so we have, Burmese python night at the local diner? That might not be a bad idea. I don't know. I don't know how they kill them, but... Honestly, I don't care. I do care about the Pope. Don't ask me why, but because I wanted to be Pope. I ran for Pope twice. It's looking more and more like I may have to run again. Pope Francis is not well. He skipped his homily during Palm Sunday Mass in St. Peter's Square. He was supposed to deliver a homily halfway through the service, and then they handed him his glasses, and he was like, I'm not reading that. And so everybody was at the Mass was just sitting there like, what's happening? Why is the Pope not speaking? And then the Vatican paper said, we replaced it with a moment of silence and prayer. Oh, okay. Is that why you handed him his glasses? And, He would read it? Yeah, that's why. Oh, okay, well, no problem, whatever. I guess he's not been that well. He's been sick. You know, I know he's got, you know, bad knees, and he can't walk around much anymore. And I get it. Believe me, I understand how strenuous it is to move around. I got it. But his increasingly frail health is an issue. And he didn't participate in the procession with the Cardinals. And it's not looking good for the Pope. And so I just want to say to the masses that if need be, if I'm called to serve, I will run for Pope again. All right, I'm out of here. Here's the joke of the day for you. Just a quick little joke of the day. It means a lot for many people, including myself, who have actually fallen in their driveway in the past. You can't blame anyone else if you fall in your driveway. That's your own ash fault. That's your own ash fault. Get it?
And subscribe to more Blaze Media content at theblaze.com/podcasts.